You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. This week, one justice of the U.S. Supreme Court sharply criticized a very common and increasingly controversial police practice, civil forfeiture. That's when police arrest you and in the process seize your money, property, or even your real estate. The criticism came in a case which the court refused to hear for procedural reasons, but the statement is making news in part because the justice who wrote it is Clarence Thomas, no champion of criminal defendants or their rights. Thomas signaled that he and maybe the rest of the court may be sympathetic to arguments that the longstanding practice is unconstitutional. Here to explain why, Andrew Cohen. He's a senior editor at the Marshall Project, a nonprofit focused on the justice system. Andrew, welcome to WNYC.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Andrew, put this in real terms for us. What does civil forfeiture mean for the average person?
Well, you think about it in terms of due process, or you think about it in terms of your right to property and to not have your property seized without some sort of a court hearing. What the police are doing, what they've been doing for many, many years, what they're doing to the tune of billions of dollars, is basically arresting people, seizing property with the allegation that the property has something to do with crime, but then holding on to the property, even if the people who are arrested in connection with the property aren't charged or convicted or sentenced.
No, wait a minute. Don't you get your stuff back? When I watch a police procedural, Dragnet or Law and Order, I always see them slide your stuff back when you get released.
Yeah, well, that may be the stuff that's in your pocket, your wallet or your clothes. You don't always get everything back in these civil asset forfeiture cases, and that's why they have become a huge issue, especially among conservatives. So you have, on the one hand, a Law and Order president, a Law and Order attorney general, supported by a lot of local law enforcement who want to be able to keep doing this. And then you have, on the left, you have this concern that this is just another form of predatory policing, where you're going after people who don't have the power to fight back necessarily, and you're literally financing police operations on the back of the people who you are supposed to be protecting and serving.
So what's the motivation for this on the part of law enforcement? Why are they doing this?
Well, the idea behind asset forfeiture was that criminal behavior was being financed, right, by the property that had to be seized. And so if you were going after a drug kingpin, for example, you would want to seize the bank accounts, you would want to seize the boat, you know, the yacht, the mansion, whatever, because you didn't want that person using those assets to fund either the continuation of the criminal enterprise or something else. But we are way beyond that, and that's why so many people are so upset. Another reason for this, and I think one of the reasons that Clarence Thomas is identifying or focusing on anyway, is the idea that this is a revenue stream, that if you seize these assets, in some cases you keep these assets and you use these assets and you sell these assets.
In this case that the Supreme Court just declined was brought by a plaintiff in Texas. But civil forfeiture isn't just a Texas thing, is it? It's everywhere, it seems.
It's everywhere. And there have been states that have begun to reform their laws, that have begun to rein in, you could say.
Progressives have been pushing this fight for quite some time. In New York, NYPD is being sued by the Bronx Defenders over its forfeiture practices. Last month in New Jersey, the legislature passed a bill that would have required police to disclose how they use seized property. That passed unanimously, Andrew, in both houses. But then Governor Christie vetoed it. What about the pushback there?
Well, that's just it, right? What you're talking about in New Jersey, and even to a certain extent in New York with the Bronx Defenders, is accountability. That also is something that's cropping up in many of the states where this is happening, where people aren't necessarily going after the ability of the police to do this. They just want a better accounting of what the police are doing with this money. And it is a lot of money when you add up all the stuff that's being seized on the state level and all the stuff that's being seized on the federal level.
So, Andrew, what's the fix here?
Some states are cracking down on the police practice, but I do think Clarence Thomas is onto something. I do think that ultimately a strong ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court that says, listen, this is way beyond what was contemplated at the time of the writing and the drafting of the Constitution. There have to be limits on it, and this has gone wild. That kind of a ruling obviously would have a trickle-down effect at the state level. So you have the sort of from the ground-up movement that's already happening, and what Clarence Thomas to me is saying is, hey, the top is ready to have a top-down review as well.
Andrew Cohen is senior editor at the Marshall Project and a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice. Andrew, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.